The shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Deep in the wilderness with a backpack on. Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And this is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guest news and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. And Jennifer, what exactly is It Does My Soul Well?
It Does My Soul Well endeavors to accomplish three things. We challenge you to get outdoors, we inspire you to get healthy, and we encourage you in your spiritual life.
So Shasta Outdoors Radio is our way to challenge you to get outdoors and enjoy things like hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping, biking, you name it. There's a wide variety of choices, especially here in Northern California. Tonight in the studio, we have with us Nikalin Reyeza.
That's right. Nikalin heads up Stones and Stream. It's a faith-based organization offering outdoor guided adventures.
Nikalin was here in August, Jennifer, and we talk about Stones and Streams. But tonight, we're going to be focused on backpacking. So, Jennifer, October has arrived. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe that.
You know what that means.
My birthday month.
Oh,
right?
It's your birthday month.
Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
What are some of your favorite fall activities? You got any?
Absolutely.
Birthday, we know that now.
Oh, okay. So something else then. No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely. You know, fall is my favorite time of the year with the colors and the pumpkins. And some of my favorite things are Nash and Haas Ranch.
Yeah.
Where you can go and do the outdoor pumpkin patch and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, a few years ago, I went out to Haas and I did their scary.
Me too.
Their scary corn maze.
Yes.
And I've done corn mazes.
Dreams,
yeah,
right?
I've done corn mazes before, but not the scary one. And so I'm walking along trying to find my way. I was with some other people. I think my daughters, they were teenagers at the time. And all of a sudden someone tapped on my shoulder and I turned around and there was this girl that was about 10 years old, but she had a face that looked like death.
Oh no.
And a white long dress.
Oh,
and
isn't that creepy?
It scared me.
Isn't that creepy? I love doing that though. I love getting scared for a few minutes.
Yeah. Do you know what you're going to be for Halloween?
I think I'm going to be, to me, it's kind of important to think about this because I love fall and I love all this so much. But I think it's fun to do like little family, themed costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
That,
and I think cute costumes are good too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one year we were all the Flintstones, you know, just cute things like
I
that.
Love it.
But my daughter is 12 and she really wants to go to that scary maze this year. And I'm just not even sure she's like ready for all this. You know, she's
right.
Only 12. But she keeps asking, so it's something I'm really, like, I'm thinking about it, I'm considering it.
Oh,
so.
How fun. I'm not sure what I'm going to be. I don't know, maybe I'll go as a radio announcer or
something. Oh, that's a
like
good
that.
Idea, but we can't be the same thing.
you know, a backpacker. I'll find out about backpacking
there
tonight.
Go.
Maybe that's what I'll go as. But I love this time of year because it's a wonderful time to get out and do some trail hiking because you can do it pretty much any time during the day. The weather is nicer. It's not as
Absolutely.
Hot. And so I usually take advantage of going on some of those longer hikes that I avoid in the middle of the summer.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, in the middle of the summer, you get out early, but you want to get back before it gets too hot.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In the fall, hey, I can do those 8-10 mile day hikes. And it's an enjoyable time of the year.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we.
And beautiful.
And beautiful out there, no doubt about it. Hey, there are some events that are going on this weekend. Right now, the big bike weekend is happening here through Sunday. And as a matter of fact, right this moment, Big Bike Night is at the Redding Motor Sports Park on Old Oregon Trail. And tomorrow there will be a remembrance ride to honor first responders and military, something they did after 9/11.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then Sunday there will be a worship service, from 8 to 9 a.m., followed by a poker chip run. You know, in the world that I grew up in church, those wouldn't go hand in hand, but it works.
I know, but now it does.
Hey, if people want to participate in any of this, they can get more information by going to the BigBikeWeekend.com website, BigBikeWeekend.com. And, you know, Jennifer, I really love everything that they're doing with this weekend. It seems like everything revolves around God and country, something I'm passionate about.
Very American.
And so, are you a motorcycle rider at all?
I have ridden on the back of motorcycles, but I've never, driven one myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, when I was younger, I used to ride dirt bikes quite a bit, and then a little bit of the road bikes, but not as much. And I keep thinking it's something that I would like to do. And my Peruvian queen, Fanny, she said that she would be open to us getting that.
You guys should do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to work that out once we get the RV, if we can, I'm not planning on getting a toy hauler. I was actually recently looking at electric bikes. I thought, well, that might work for us when we get out there on the highways and the byways of America. Hey, also tomorrow is the Manton Apple Festival in Manton at the Manton Elementary School. We're talking about apple pie, baby. Have you ever been there?
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I drove all the way there just to buy a pie in the rain, and it was so worth it. It was a couple of years ago.
Right.
It is so good, and it's such a fun event. There's so many vendors, and there is literally so much to do. Absolutely recommend.
Oh, absolutely. I went there last year, and I'm going to give this as a recommendation for anybody that wants to get an apple pie. I went there last year and walked around, and there's great vendors and crafts, you know, all of these things, and food, of course, all kinds of wonderful food that you can only get at a place like this, and so I enjoy it. And, of course, it's a beautiful drive there.
But I
was walking around and looking at the different vendors, the booths, and all of that. And then finally I thought, well, I better go get an apple pie to take home. So I went, and guess what? I got the very last apple pie.
Exactly. Yes. They sell out so fast. That's what I mean. I think I went a year it was raining, and I got lucky. Because otherwise, I don't think I would have been able to get my pie. Go early. Go early, everyone.
Yes, get there. A fun place to go, and really benefits that community there. Hey, next Saturday, the 14th, is the Friends of Chappie Fall Crawl, put on by the Reading Black Sheep 4x4 at the Shasta Chappie OHV area. We had them on the program a few weeks ago. And they are, you know, wanting to get as many people out there and involved. If you've got a four-wheel drive that's hyped up and has those big wheels, and
that's
you
right.
like to crawl over rocks,
get over those rocks.
Hey, they have a competition. There's supposed to be some prizes. We'll see. You remember we had Ed Wade and Jeremiah Fisher were here.
I think Jeremiah was supposed to be in charge of those prizes,
too. So we're counting on you, Jeremiah, that you've got those wonderful prizes. But it looks like a lot of fun. I've never gone to it, but I've watched some videos of it, and it's pretty cool. If you would like more information on this, you can go to readingblacksheep.com, readingblacksheep.com. Hey, Jennifer, if people want to know more about us, how can they do that?
So you can visit itdoesmysoulwell.com, where we have video recordings of this program, a blog by Tim, and more. Let me just say, I didn't know that you took so many video blogs or whatever.
Right.
And then you sent me the link to some, and I mean, it's almost addicting. Yeah. I started watching, and I just couldn't even stop. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, your videos are awesome.
Awesome. It's so fun to know that we have a fan. Hey, we've got to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Kaylin Reyesa, where we're talking about backpacking. We'll be back after these messages.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Appropriate music for Big Bike Weekend. You're listening to Shasta Outdoors. Hey, Jennifer, let's thank one of our sponsors.
Yeah, let's thank our friends at Professional Exterminators. Have you been dealing with unwanted ants, roaches, or other pests around your home? Professional Exterminators are the ones to call, and they'll give you a zero-obligation free estimate. So if something's bugging you, give them a call. 530-338-2822. Professional Exterminators. 530-338-2822.
Absolutely love Dave and Madonna Silva.
Love them. They're wonderful.
Wonderful people and definitely the professionals when it comes to exterminating. Hey, Jennifer, tonight we're really excited to talk about backpacking. It's a topic we've touched on a little bit from time to time. But tonight we're going to dial in on that topic. Well, the gentleman we have on tonight heads up Stones and Streams, which offers faith-based guided trips and has done quite a bit of backpacking in Northern California. So, Nikalin, how do you say his last name?
Rayasa.
Hey, Nikalin, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors.
Thank you, thank you.
So, Nikalin, what have you been up to in the past month since we last talked in August?
Oh, yeah, I have been backpacking.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm finding the time. It does require you have to plan and obviously find time.
Sure.
But it is, I can even just jump right in. Backpacking is like.
Right. Well, yeah, I kind of want to sort of step you through this a little bit before you jump headlong into the waters of backpacking.
Because let me tell you, I already have questions, but I'm like, nope, I'm going to wait for you to explain it first.
I love Jennifer because I say, this is what we're going to talk about, and she does her research. So, you know, get ready for some tough questions here tonight. And so, but just tell us, how did you get interested in backpacking?
Well, it was actually kind of by chance because I didn't grow up in an outdoor family. I grew up in a suburb. My family was travelers, but they weren't interested in being in a tent.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere. I can see that being maybe a love or hate.
I really get it.
But, for me, I learned to love it. So I initially was like, this is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I threw myself through a, I, so out of, um, I was working in Ohio at a job, and then I decided to go out west. So I found a job at a trail guide, or not trail guide, blanking. It's a building trails. So it was just like trail crew.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I literally just was on a trail crew for like a summer and a fall.
Right.
And we just, I'd never done that. I'd never really been outside. You're just taking your stuff and like a Pulaski and different tools with you in the middle of nowhere. And after like a week, I was like, this is quite interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were camping up in the woods at that point in time then?
Yep.
Can I ask a question about you building trails, though, really quick? Since you're talking about it right now, are you allergic to poison oak?
I haven't ever been, actually. It's funny. I've never gotten it, but I did get poison ivy because I grew up in the East Coast.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
So I'm not really sure what exactly happened if I just am not allergic to, because it's the same oil.
Mm.
So I don't know. I'm not allergic to poison oak.
So as you're clearing brush, aren't you lucky you're not getting poison oak?
That's true. I know.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I had to know. Keep going. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, you know, backpacking, I do a lot of day hikes, but compared to day hikes, what are some of the main differences?
Well, yeah. So backpacking, I mean, the big difference between backpacking and day hikes is the backpack that you're using. So they're just different. It's a different backpack, which means that you're bringing entirely different stuff. So the weight is different. I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, mentally and physically, that makes a huge difference, just how much weight you have on your pack.
Sure. Yeah, and talking about the backpack, when you get your backpack all together, and let's dial in a little bit on what is it that you make sure you have in your backpack?
Yes. So there are essentials. There are essentials and there's luxuries. It can be easy to kind of mix the two. But I would say for essentials, obviously you want your sleeping bag. That is something that it's really easy. It can actually be easy to forget, and it makes for a really bad time.
Have you done that before?
I have done it. Well, actually, I've done it only on a camping trip, like a glamping trip, I guess. Which is not really out in the wilderness.
Right.
My friend one time did it, and we had to sleep together in the same sleeping bag. Which
it definitely brings you together. We're going to touch on that later.
Better be good friends. That's all I can say.
Well, they were after that, Tim.
My wife wouldn't mind that at all, but
I don't think anything brings friends together quite like forgetting your backpack or your backpack, your sleeping bag.
Yeah.
So obviously sleeping bag, sleeping pad is obviously a really important thing. So that goes under your sleeping bag.
What kind of sleeping pad do you recommend?
I would say, depending on how much money someone's willing to pay, I like to pay for expensive things, in my opinion, because they last for a long time.
Right.
So you have them for hopefully decades.
Yeah.
So I usually get a Therm-a-Rest has one called it's like an ultralight. It's their ultralight yellow version. I can't remember what it's exactly called. But it's on Amazon, it's on REI, it's different places.
Sure.
That one's really good because you just essentially blow it up. So you just put air into it. You know, when you're going to camp, when you're at camp, and it just blows it up into this essentially air mattress, and it's very light, and it actually warms you. So the way the technology is with these pads today is that, like, it's able to maintain heat in the pad.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It keeps your back and, you know, when you're sitting on it warm.
Nice.
So it's very effective in that way.
That's great.
Yeah, I was kind of curious because there's some pads out there that you don't blow up. They're just, you roll them up and roll them out.
But that sounds heavy. Doesn't that sound like it's heavy?
Well, they can be light, I think, right?
Okay. Yeah, there's different. Like, to be honest, there's tens of, I mean, there's probably like hundreds, there's a lot of different varieties.
Right, but the ones that you blow up sound much more comfortable to me.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth it because I've done some of the cheaper, smaller ones, or some of the cheaper, thinner ones, and they're just, it's just you don't have as good of a time. But obviously the cost matters depending on the person.
It's kind of interesting as Fanny and I are getting ready to do the full-time RVing and we're selling everything. Yes. Jennifer, you know we sold our beds.
That's right. You're sleeping on an air mattress.
We are sleeping. Yeah, it's actually an air bed, like a queen-size air bed. And it took me a night or two to get used to that off of our Tempur-Pedic king size mattress that we had. And so, but we're getting used to it. And so
You're just practicing.
Right.
For your
so practice. What are some other essentials?
Okay, so I can sort of go through some things. So obviously a tent also matters.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of varieties. I don't know. We don't need to touch on everything in depth necessarily right now. But,
right.
A tent, and that can be a full scale, like 4 or 5 person. It can be a 1 to 2 person tent. They have bivy sacks, which are like almost glorified sleeping bags.
Right.
And within the tent, like imagining kind of being in a tent with a sleeping bag and pad, you have things like a flashlight so you can see at night.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you want, let's say you're going out to get water at the nearby creek or lake. You want to have a water filter. It's really important.
Right. So what do you recommend for water filter? There's a variety of them out there, some that you pump through the filter, some that you put it's an attachment to the water bottle itself. What do you recommend?
Yeah, so what there's a couple of varieties. There seem to be ones that are getting more popular these days because they're very efficient. The one I use is like a Be Free one, and it's called the company's called Be Free, but they essentially have like a small water bottle like tube thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you just throw water in that. So you like you put water in that thing, and that's where the dirty water is. It's like a dirty container.
Okay,
and then you have a little you have the actual like small tube, which is a water filter.
Okay,
and then that's where all like the essentially when you put the dirty water, you have to squeeze that container of dirty water into the tube that filters the water.
Okay, mm-hmm.
and then you put that the other side into the whatever the water
right bottle is. And those are pretty effective then in getting all the yucky stuff out of there.
Oh yeah, I've
done
bacteria some
bacteria and all of those types of things that could possibly be in the water.
Yeah, I've done some less than ideal. Like I've gone in small pools at times. Like in the desert, there were like small pools because there wasn't mm-hmm. much water sources one time
right.
in the desert. And I like it was like a very small pool and it wasn't the cleanest probably. And
right.
These water filters seemed, I didn't get sick.
Right.
So. I was going to say, I'm very worried about that, because
right.
if you're backpacking, you're way out there, you're drinking the water, now something happens,
Yeah. And so when you plan out your backpacking, and we're going to talk about maybe some of your favorite places to go, but is that one of the things that you look at is some water sources?
That's what I was just going
to
ask.
Yes. Yeah, so depending on where you are now, I don't advise someone to do this, but there, when you're in the wilderness, especially around where we are in Redding and Northern California, there are areas that you can go to that you really actually wouldn't need to filter,
mm-hmm.
but you need to be very careful. It needs to be a spring
right.
that's coming out of the ground or,
sure.
So sometimes you can get away with that. You just have to be very careful, but, in these places, there's rushing streams and lakes, and these are very pristine lakes,
mm-hmm.
alpine lakes, just an hour or so from us.
Right. And it's a lot of those are just snow runoff. Hey, we got to get ready to take a break here. Before we do, I want to thank one of our other sponsors, and that is Caliber Office Furniture. Are you looking for home office furniture? Caliber Office Furniture makes it easy for you. Go to CaliberOffice.com, select work from home, and there you'll find a beautiful selection of home office furniture with free shipping to your home. Again, that's CaliberOffice.com. Thank you, Chris Gable and Caliber Office Furniture, for being a sponsor of this program. Well, when we come back, we're going to be speaking more with Nick Kalin about backpacking. I want to talk to him about some of his favorite places to go. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends,
family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
Get ready for great fall family fun at Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest, taking place Saturday, October 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. featuring local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 14th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And tonight we are talking with Nikalin Reyasa. Nikalin is Heads Up Stones and Streams. That's a faith-based guided trips that he offers. And if you want to know more about Nikalin and the trips that he offers, you can go to stonesandstreams.org. Stonesandstreams.org. Beautiful website. I highly recommend it.
The pictures.
Yeah, just some beautiful things there. We've been talking a little bit about the necessities, but we haven't really touched on food yet.
Yay,
because I would say
food.
I've got to have food. One of my favorite things to say to people when I'm on about a 5 or 6 mile hike and I get way out there and I come across somebody, I ask them if there's a McDonald's around the corner.
I always look for a Starbucks on my hike.
And so, you know, I get some smiles and laughs and told, or some crazy looks like, why would you think there's a McDonald's up here? But what about the food, Nikalin?
I wish a nice breakfast sandwich. That does sound good.
Yeah.
Food is a heavy topic with backpacking. It's actually very simple, but it can be complicated if you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
What I actually normally do, I usually just get freeze-dried meals.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether I kind of make them or I just buy them. It depends kind of my schedule or how busy I am. But there are definitely ways that you get your nutrition out there. And
right.
It's relatively simple. Now, on certain trips, including others I've been around, I've done, you know, they bring like pots and pans, and this is like lightweight. You can buy specialized pots and pans for backpacking.
Sure.
And you could essentially just, you know, you can bring some beans, rice, chicken, vegetables.
I went one time and my uncle brought canned bacon.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I mean, so it wasn't real heavy, and it was just kind of put very tightly into a can, and so it wouldn't spoil. And you brought the bacon out, and talk about a special treat up there in the Trinity Alps to have that bacon, just the smell of it up there in that clear, crisp air.
And the thing about that is it's important to bring foods you really enjoy.
Right.
Because it just enhances the experience.
Sure.
It's one of those things that it especially because backpacking tends to be a little bit less comfortable. Well, I mean, it can be less comfortable for a lot of people than their bed at home. So it's good to have a source of food they just really enjoy, like your favorite meal that you can bring out and make. And like even just a dessert or something, it's sort of like a tradition or, you know, whatever it is. You have a beer and a dessert at the end.
Right.
A s'mores. Do you have a s'mores?
You could have s'mores.
Okay.
I should say, because it depends. Northern California, because there's fire season, it can be tricky to, you want to make sure that you're abiding by law, by rules. And it's not even, they're rules, but they're also like, because we've had so many fires. It's,
sure.
I mean, in certain seasons, I would say you can totally have a fire.
So what do you use as a cooking source?
Oh, yeah. So Jet Boil is a really good source. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty common company. It's like a, it's almost, almost someone could be a sponsor. Jet Boil.
Right. Jet but, Boil.
Visit jetboil.com.
Yeah. There are off brand stuff on Amazon you can buy, like little, I mean, there's the classic MSR and Jet Boil, but then there's like off brand companies that you can get for cheaper on Amazon, but they all work pretty well. It's just like nowadays the technology is so good. It's like a, you know, it's like a stove, it's a, little source where the flame is hidden. And then there's a, you know, your little container where you have your food.
Cool.
Right.
And you just, you know, some of them have like a push things. You push it and it activates the lighter that hits.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. And then what are you bringing us? Like a small propane bottle or what is it?
Yeah. So it's just like little propane canisters. They're very small. You can buy it like some of the nearby, recreation outlets in here.
Sure.
So what's the difference between, because you said you had freeze-dried food, right? So that's not like an MRE. Are the MREs like too heavy, per se, to take backpacking?
Oh, MREs, you mean?
Like meals ready to eat?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what
the military used?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I guess they can be the same because essentially freeze-dried is just like, well, it's dehydrated.
Sure. You just so, rehydrate
yeah.
it. Sort of
yeah, thing. So essentially just, it's just like, I mean, they're actually pretty good food. I mean, they look kind of weird before you rehydrate
them. Sure.
But once you put water in there, it's like they're ready to go. And they're like anything. It's like beef stroganoff or like Thai chicken. It could be like some really gourmet
amazing.
Meals.
Sounds really good, actually. Yeah. I have to go check that out.
So once you get all of your gear together, your backpack, your sleeping bag that you want to make sure you don't leave behind because you don't want to sleep with your friend. And
unless you really want to get close.
Right. And I don't know if I want to hop in a sleeping bag with somebody who's been sweating all day on the trip itself. But how much does your backpack weigh, all your gear and everything?
Yes. So usually about 25 pounds.
Okay. That's not bad.
Can be 30 if it's like a week long trip. This has been a work in progress.
Okay.
Because the more you backpack, the better you get at packing.
Right.
But like a lot of the things that we're talking about, like when it comes to food, like if you're bringing your own pots and pans, I mean, hopefully lightweight, that adds to the weight of the pack.
Sure.
And when you go on these trips, you realize quickly, oh, I can't bring everything that I want on this trip.
Right. Right.
What do you eliminate first? Like, what are some things that you're like, you would think you would need this, but don't bring it? Because when I was looking it up, I had some examples where people were like trying to bring novels and they're really heavy and they would literally omit them from their pack.
And that's the thing, like it's like almost like what are you willing to take? Like what is useful? Like maybe a novel's good because, you know, you want to have it's just part of the experience for you, but it does add some weight. I mean, I think it's a, like people bring camp chairs, like these backpacking camp chairs.
Interesting.
And they are very lightweight, but it does add ounces to your pack. So it's like, how comfortable do you want to be? But are you okay with just carrying more on your shoulders and your waist going up?
Right.
So it's tricky but I will say when it comes to pack choice matters because Osprey is a pretty common brand we probably all know about. Mm-hmm. They make some really cool packs, like some very ergonomic packs that are efficient. And they have this thing called like a anti-gravity system.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially divert, it's like a clip that you, it's like a, this red thing that's inside the pack. That's it's just like a clip, but it, like, once you put everything in, you strap that and you pull.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, essentially, how the system works is it puts more on your, like, in the middle of the pack.
Okay.
So that there's distribution between your hips and your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes. So now that I looked up some stuff about backpacking, my phone has given me suggestions. And I actually saw that thing that you just suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now it's spying on me. It's like, oh, she's really interested in this. And now it's suggesting all these items I should buy. So that's really cool.
It's 2023, so there's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
So if a person wanted to get into backpacking, and I was into backpacking some years ago, and then I kind of revisited it here in the past year and a half or so and started looking at equipment and the things that you would need to be able to go do it. Do you have any kind of estimate how much of an investment it would be to go get what you needed to hit the trails?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it would probably be... It'd probably be somewhere around, I mean, if you're getting middle, I'd say maybe just at middle of the road stuff.
Right. Okay.
Probably somewhere around like, I mean, it could be like 800, maybe.
Okay.
700, 800.
That's not too bad.
I would say that's probably.
I think I audibly gasped. I wasn't
expecting that. To be honest, that's probably being
right. You could probably spend up to $2,000, $3,000 too, right?
Absolutely.
Wow. Just depending on the equipment that you choose.
You have to have the right things. You have to. It's just an investment, you know, and an investment in basically yourself, because you have to be really self-reliant the whole time. So if you have the wrong materials, you're not going to be successful, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't even mention like shoes. So like boots.
Well, you have to wear shoes too.
So what do you choose for your shoes?
So I choose there are obviously heavy boots, like they can be called military boots.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more like sneakers.
Right.
I usually say somewhere in between. So something that with a mid top, which essentially means that it's not going so high up on your ankle, but it's not low enough.
Right.
So you have some protection against rocks and things.
Right.
I guess they call it mid-layer boot.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're like, a good example is Salomon's. The Salomon's a company that makes good boots.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a boot that's just like, it's an all-around boot. It's just like, it's waterproof.
Right.
It's high enough top, but it's not like military style. Mm-hmm. It just gets the job done. It's comfortable. It's lightweight.
Sure.
When I was talking with someone about backpacking, and we did talk about the subject of, you know, footwear, and they said that you can get those like rock bruises in the bottom of your feet if you've got the wrong kind of footwear. Mm-hmm. So has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you maybe didn't have the right footwear of sorts?
Yeah, it's like a mix between the footwear and the socks, especially when it comes to blisters and things. So you kind of have to, you don't want to be, depending on the climate, like if you're having a wool sock it's like sweating, like it's going to.
Then you've got a wet wool sock on your feet.
It's not going to feel good after after miles being put on it, especially with shoes that are. I mean, you have to fit the shoes well, so everything has to kind of. That's one of those things that you just figure that out, and that's one of the most important things.
Yeah, one of the things for me on my shoes, like I have what I call hiking tennis shoes, so to speak, and the soles on it aren't as thick or as rigid. And so if I'm on a trail that's got a lot of rocks and so forth, it can be uncomfortable at times. Mm-hmm. But, hey, we got to take another break here. Nikalyn, this is great information, and I know we're not going to be able to get everything in, but I knew we wanted to do something on backpacking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
But when we come back, we're going to talk some more. I want to finally get to some of your favorite places in Northern California to backpack. You're listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Me and little brother were joined right in there. Singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these things won't be long. I'll rejoin them in a song.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And we are talking with Nikalin. I'm not going to try to do his last name.
Riesa!
Oh, there you go. Nikalin, it's been really interesting talking about backpacking, the types of things that we need to take, the food, the water, filtration, the shoes and everything. But I want to talk about some of the places to go because Northern California has a plethora of trails and backpacking destinations. So what are some of your favorite places to go?
First off, Northern California has some of the best places in the world, I would say. And that's,
right.
That's
yes.
From someone who's been to a lot of places in the U.S. There's a lot to do around here. The Trinity Alps is by far my favorite spot. It's a wilderness area, a designated wilderness area just northwest of here.
Yes, absolutely beautiful. What are some of the trails you've taken in the Trinity Alps area?
Canyon Creek Lakes is a really cool one. For any first-timers, it's a good one. The miles are a little high. I mean, it's 8 miles into the lake, but it's very gradual. Elevation gain is an important metric in backpacking. So the elevation gain is reasonable.
Right.
That's one of my favorites. Grizzly Falls is a really good one.
Right.
That's like an iconic one.
Yes.
It's like you go through a meadow and then there's just these huge granite walls.
Mm.
There's a waterfall that's coming off the lake. You have to scramble a little bit up to the lake and then you camp at the lake. And you're just camping on granite and then you're looking at the tallest peak in the wilderness above you. To be honest, Trinity Alps has a lot of that no matter where you go.
Okay.
There's a lot of similar spots, but there's places that are more accessible and then there's places that aren't accessible.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different spots. Smith and Morris, I'll say, is a really cool one.
Yeah. Have you been to the Caribou Lake?
Yes, Caribou is really cool. You've been there?
Yes, I've been to the Caribou Lakes. Oh. It's a beautiful place. I think there's three lakes up there, if I can remember correctly. And I went up there, oh my goodness, years ago, and did some fishing in the lakes. And as a matter of fact, we ate fish that we caught in the lakes.
Were you backpacking?
We were backpacking. Oh, yes. Backpacked,
so
and we stayed there
fish.
For a couple nights. And my uncle, who went with us, he brought some like cornmeal and some things to make the fish.
Bread it up.
And so we actually brought more food back than
what you set out.
Yeah, than what we thought we were going to use because we actually caught fish. Which kind of leads me to, Nikalin, my next question. You get to these destinations. What do you do when you're there?
It's depending on the trip. If I have more time and I'm kind of like in relaxation mode, I'll just sit by the lake and read a book.
Right.
Maybe jump in the lake first.
Nice.
Swim around.
Sure.
And then read a book. That's something I love doing. I mean, I haven't gotten into fly fishing a lot. I mean, I used to with a friend, but I need to get back into it. So that's not something I always do, but I typically just like to relax. For me, backpacking just means unplugging.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to just, I've had a busy week and I do manage businesses, so it's easy to just go out to the middle of nowhere, essentially.
Right.
And you're surrounded by, like, beauty, a creation, and you can just be there.
Yeah,
be
that concept is so foreign to so many people. To get up there and to, like you said, unplug, just to enjoy God's beautiful creation and to relax.
Which is the actual idea.
Right.
Of backpacking.
Right, exactly.
I would say that, however, they're also for the more adventurous people. You could do things like, I call them missions. Me and my friends would do missions where it's like sunrise missions, where it's like we... you know, we want to camp the lake. We go into camp the lake the night before, and then we want to climb a peak or something.
Right.
So there's places, like, all around around here. Like, Marble Mountains is a really cool spot.
Where's that at?
So that's north of the Alps. It's actually north of the Trinity Alps and north of Russian Wilderness.
Okay.
It's up there towards Etna, by Etna.
Okay.
Oh, I love that area. Mm-hmm.
So you actually can go to Etna. Well, I'd say actually the best way to get there is Fort Jones. But you can do Etna.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Fort Jones is a good access, too. And then Marble Mountains is a really cool location because it's like it's an actual ridge of marble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Do you camp on top of that?
You can. I usually camp, but there's this cabin below the marble, below the formation. It's like this old cabin someone built like a century ago.
You stay in that old cabin?
Well, maybe you could stay. I just stay next to it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is it equipped? Maybe I will go backpacking.
That would be
got a fireplace, a kitchen, dishwasher.
Exactly. A tub.
Yeah. I mean, you can, in some places, you can't camp at fire lookouts. In right. fire lookouts.
Oh, okay.
That depends on the fire lookout.
Though. Sure.
And if they catch you, right? So something that you mentioned was the whole like unplugging and like getting, you know, kind of away from all the electronics and all that. When I was looking, I was talking about, with someone about backpacking, I was looking up some things and they said that if you ever want to kind of enhance a relationship with somebody, whether that be like a romantic relationship or a friendship or like even, you know, somebody in your own family, that you kind of go out in nature and you go backpacking. And I was thinking about that, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, granted, not the forgetting your sleeping bag and making them sleep with you thing, but, you know, not that, but just getting away.
Could be part of it.
I mean, I see how that would be effective, but just getting out. What do you think that it does for you to get out in nature and not be surrounded by the electronics? Do you feel like it does something to your brain? Do you feel differently? Do you feel differently to the people around you? Do you have any like thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, this aligns with Stones and Streams for sure. Like the drips I do. Right. This is a great question because it's one of those things that for me it starts with a juxtaposition. Our society is so polar when you go to the outdoor when you go to the wilderness area.
Right.
Because we're so connected now. We have phones that connect to everything.
Right.
They're just cities that are full of concrete. Just it's a very different world when you go out there. So I feel like when I'm out there, you can be very present in a way that, I mean, without sounding like too hoo-ha, it's like it has absolutely changed my brain. I mean, it's actually changed the way that I see the world.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, it's hard to even like... Like, I mean, I'm underestimating it, really.
Yes.
But it's
yes.
like, it's completely altered, like, I mean, the way that I see God, the way that I visualize my life. And, you know, when it comes to, I have had experiences where I've gotten closer to people because you just have these conversations with these people and you're like, you have so much time to talk to them and you're like in a place where you're able to just sort of relax and just think
yes.
like, I really appreciate you and I appreciate where we are. I appreciate like this moment. And I've had some like, especially with like, with girls that I brought out, like just to show them backpacking it.
Yes.
It turns into a more meaningful relationship.
Yes.
And that, I think that's something that I've really, centered on specifically in my life. That's a really good question. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it does your soul well. Right?
Exactly.
And that's, for me, that's what it's all about when I get out there, get out in the wilderness, get out and, you know, the relationship part of it, part of that is getting free from distractions. I don't know how many times wife and I have conversations at home and I don't necessarily hear her because I'm on my phone or she's on hers or the TV's
on.
You know, there's so many distractions going on around us that sometimes it's hard to really dial in, listen to one another, pay attention to each other. And like you said, Nikaylin, show that appreciation for one another.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Nikaylin, this has, again, gone way too quickly. But some great information on backpacking. I feel inspired. I want to go out there and do it.
I actually do too.
Yeah.
I want to give this a try.
We got to get out there. And so, Nikaylin, thank you. And we're going to definitely have you back on. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
My phone number is area code 440-223-3164. You can also sign up for a trip on stonesandstreams.org.
All right. So thank you, Nikaylin. Hey, Jennifer, got any outdoor plans for the coming week?
I think it would be really great to go ahead and just continue on my adventure with hikes and
nice.
Do some of that, and maybe I'll even do some some of those great activities that we just talked about, and maybe the festival, and just kind of see, you know, how it goes.
Go get an apple pie. I might get out there and check out some of the big bike weekend events. Hey, next week we have Aaron Grabeel on, and he is a local hunting guide.
Very cool.
That's going to be fun. Hey, Jennifer, we want to say thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, thank you, Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture.
And thank you, listener, for tuning in to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
We challenge you to get out there and enjoy God's wonderful creation.
We promise it will do your soul well.
Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Winterville Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium premium products packaged daily. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.